Nothing good have I done to deserve this grace I found. I was lost as could be when His hand reached way down. Where once I had nothing, I now have everything. And I thank God for grace that saved a wretch like me. Unworthy of mercy, yet I'm free and saved. Unworthy of precious blood that washed my sin away. If not for Calvary, where would I be today? I was blind, now I see, and I thank God for
Praise the Lord. Thank you, young ladies. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know, my heart's doing flips over here. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for grace. Amen. Been a mess today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know where God found me and where He's brought me and where I'm going. And I just thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Cody's reading, you're hearing this morning in John chapter 6, verse 68. I'm going to get into the message, but as I said, my heart's flipping right now, and so just trying to calm it a little bit, amen? But y'all bear with me. I've got allergies. How many of you fighting with allergies? Hey, man, I thought it'd be a lot of... I've never had allergies before, a little bit maybe, but this year I'm just tore up, and I should have took some allergy medicine, but I didn't want to fall asleep in church, and I didn't want to be mean in church, so I figured it's going to do one or the other. It's either going to make me tired or mean, and so I figured I better not take any, amen? And so y'all bear with me, but with God's help, we'll get through it. John chapter 6 and verse number 68, the reading was a familiar passage of scripture, and it's a statement that's been just heavy on my heart for a couple weeks now, really even into months. My family and I don't know, back in maybe February sometime, had family devotions a couple nights, and I was talking to my children out of this verse of scripture where it says, "To whom shall we go?" And this isn't my message this morning, but I would like to say, where are you going to go? You know, there's all kinds of things this world has to offer. And it's Youth Sunday. Young people, where are you going to go? Can I tell you there's nowhere else to go? I was talking to someone this week. You know, a lot of people, I talked to a guy at work this week that said said he was an agnostic, and said that he wasn't an atheist, but he was agnostic, and we were talking a little bit, and I was kind of witnessing to him, and I was able to kind of share with him that, you know, I at least appreciate that you say you're an agnostic and not an atheist. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate the fact that you would at least acknowledge that you believe there's a God. He said, "I'm not an atheist. I don't believe there's no God. I believe there's a God. I just don't know who He is," right? And I said, "Yeah, because I don't really believe in atheists. I haven't met too many atheists when they come down to the end of life, when they're laying on their deathbed, when eternity's looking them in the face. All of a sudden, all those atheists really start to question their atheism." You see, when life comes to its end, I think it just makes believers out of us all. Amen. And can I ask you this morning, where are you going to go? Whom else will you go to? There's nobody else but Jesus. There's nothing else but Jesus. Young people, hear me this morning. There's nothing else out there besides Jesus. Nothing can satisfy like Jesus. And so as Peter said, to whom shall we go? And this is what Peter said. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, Jesus had been preaching to these people in John chapter number 6, and he had been talking about some hard things. If you'll look back, turn back in your Bible, it says in verse number 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? You see, Jesus had been saying some things that they just didn't quite understand. It was some hard things. Jesus was talking about spiritual things. He was talking about eternal things. He was talking about things that were not temporal, things that you could not touch, you see. And many of these people didn't understand these things, and they said, these are some hard things, right? And so you go down, and it says in verse number 66, and I find it interesting, that's John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, Jesus had given them some things that were hard things, some things they didn't quite understand, and many of them turned and walked away. They didn't follow him anymore. And Jesus looked at his disciples in verse number 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, he said, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter responded and said, to whom shall we go? And this is what he said. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. What a statement. You see, Peter got what Jesus was talking about that afternoon. There was many in that crowd that didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but I believe Peter understood it. He understood that Jesus wasn't talking about now. Jesus wasn't talking about temporal things. Jesus wasn't talking about carnal things. He wasn't talking about things that you can see and things that you can touch. No, Jesus was talking about eternal things. And Peter got it. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. And I want to ask you this morning, do you think about that very often? Do you ever think about eternal things? Do you ever think about eternity? You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 is one of my favorite verses of scripture. I heard at a youth conference, I don't know, probably 8, 9, 10 years ago, they had the theme verse of the youth conference was a Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And ever since that conference, I've kind of made that a life verse to me. People say they have a life verse. If somebody were to ask me, Brother David, what's your life verse? What verse really speaks to you? What verse is it that you've just kind of always run back to? It would probably be Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, where the Bible says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, I want to live my life not for now, not for temporal, not for carnal things, but I want to live my life for eternal things. And can I tell you, I don't always do that, but I want to. And so this morning, I want to challenge us about this thought. I want us to think about eternity. Think about eternity. I believe that's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 is saying. It's saying, set your affection. That means set your mind, set your thoughts, set everything that's within you on things above. That's eternal things, not on things on the earth, not temporal things, not carnal things, not things that we can see and touch, but things that we can't see and touch, spiritual things, things that are eternal. And so this morning, I want us to think about eternity. I heard a message some years ago on that one word, eternity, and it stuck with me all these years, and there's been many times I've went back in my mind to that message and just began to ponder on that thought, eternity. Do you ever just think about eternity? You see, I believe God wants us to think about eternity. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, said, you need to set your affection on things above. You need to think about eternity. And so, for a little bit this morning, I want us to think about eternity. You say, what is eternity? I looked it up, and this is what a Webster's Dictionary says. It means without end of existence or duration, everlasting, endless, ceaseless, or to continue without intermission. You see, you know what eternity means. It means forever and ever and ever and ever. It's eternal. And I want to talk to you this morning about eternity. I hope that when we leave this building this morning, I hope you don't remember. Well, if you do, it's great. But if you don't remember my outline, that doesn't mean as much to me. If you don't remember my name, those of you that are visiting, that doesn't mean that much to me. If you don't remember much that I said, you know, I'll be disappointed. But I want you to remember this. I want this word to ring in your ears today and in your hearts today and maybe throughout the day and even into next week and maybe throughout the rest of your life, and that is this: eternity. I want us to think about eternity. Young people, please, when you leave this place today, I hope your mind and your affections and your thoughts are on eternity, because that is what we need to be thinking about. Can I tell you, this world is not our home. We're just passing through, brethren. And we need to set our affections on things above. I was talking with a coworker this week, and I was talking about how wicked my flesh is and how I fight it. And he said, "No, you, man, you're doing a great job. Well, you really think that, you know, you're doing this and doing that?" And I said, "Hey, it doesn't, you know, I don't have to be out drinking. I don't have to be out smoking. I don't have to be out running around and carousing and gambling and living that life to be carnal and to be temporal and to be anchored into this world. You see, you don't have to be. You might not have been at the bar last night. You might not have drank a drop of alcohol yesterday. But can I tell you, hey, if we're not living for the eternal, then we're living for the temporal and we're carnal. God says, hey, you need to be living for the eternity. You need to live for things that are above, not things that are on this earth. And so this morning, for a little bit, I want us to think about eternity. Think about eternity. Number one, when I think about eternity, I sat down and I thought about this. I thought about eternity. I just pondered for a little bit that thought of eternity. And God gave me some thoughts. God gave me some things that came to my mind, and I want to share them with you this morning. When I think about eternity, I think about this. I think about a person. I think about a person. I think really about a provider, the one that is eternal, the one that Peter said had the words of eternal life, the one the Bible says in Revelation is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. You understand? He is him that was and is to come. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 1 and 2, says that he's from everlasting to everlasting. It says in the beginning, God. You see, he always was and he always will be. See, when I think of eternity, I think of a person. I think of that one that holds eternity in the palm of his hand. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." You see that? He said he's the King, eternal. He's eternal, brethren. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says that he's the everlasting Father. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 says that he's the everlasting God. You see, he's the great I Am. In Colossians, it says that all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. He was before all things. You see, hey, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. There's never been a time he wasn't, and there'll never be a time he's not. Amen. He's the great I Am. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about it in John when you know, John, I believe, got it. I believe the Apostle John that wrote the book of John, he understood who Jesus was. He started off, he said, "In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us," right? He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? He's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about that he's always been. And in John, he shares with us in the garden when those soldiers came to find Jesus. I love how that when they came to him. Let's turn to it. John, let's turn to John. Here, what verse is it? John chapter, where are we at here? Let's get here. John 18. Look at John 18. I love this right here. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, this is where Jesus was being betrayed and where Judas had, in verse number 2 it says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them," and I love this, "I am." He said, I am. And it says, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And look what it says they did. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You see what happened there? They ran into face-to-face eternity. They looked eternity, the one that's been from the beginning all the way to the end, right in the face, and he said, I am. He didn't say, I am now, I am was, or I am to come. He said, I am. I am eternal. And they saw eternity. They looked it right in the face, and they fell on the ground. When I think of eternity, I think of a person. Hey, that person is Jesus, the great I am. He is God. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's invisible. He is God. Amen. So not only do I think of a person, but when I think of eternity, I think of a place. Turn to Psalm chapter number 57, if you would. Psalm 57. Isaiah. Fuck y'all not. Where is Psalms? Isaiah. I was looking for my verse. It wasn't there. Isaiah 57. I apologize. Isaiah 57. Some of you are probably thinking, Psalm 57 doesn't have 15 verses. Isaiah 57. Look at verse number 15. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Do you know that's the only time in all of the Word of God that the word eternity is used? Now, the truth is taught throughout, eternal, everlasting. The truth of this place, the truth of the person, the truth of what we have is taught throughout the Word of God. But there's only one time in the Word of God, in the King James Bible, where that word eternity is used. And it's right here in Isaiah 57. And he said, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. When I think of eternity, I think of a place. You know, one day, every person in this building and every person outside of this building will take their last breath in this life and their first breath in eternity. It's a place. Now, I don't have time this morning to go through all that the Bible has to say about this place, but can I tell you, it's described in many different passages of Scripture. It's a place of everlasting darkness. It's a place of everlasting punishment. It's a place of eternal fire and damnation. It's a place where people will be forever. Not only is it a place of fire and a place of punishment and a place of darkness, but there's a place of life and there's a place of joy and there's a place of good things, but it's a place of eternity. Can I tell you, when I think of eternity, I think of a place. Everyone is going to spend eternity someplace. You see, if we're not careful, we'll get so bogged down on this place. But I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Hey, let's not think about this place. Let's think about that place. Amen. You say, what place, Brother David? Eternity. Eternity. I think of the Bible says that this in Corinthians, it talks about our light affliction that's just for a moment. Our life is but a vapor. It vanisheth for a little time. I mean, it appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Can I tell you, this life is short. There's folks in this building this morning, I guarantee you could testify to that. Amen. I can't believe it's been 20 years since I was a teenager. Life is short. But eternity's forever. And I want to challenge us this morning to think about eternity. You see, eternity is a place. Have you thought about that place recently? Where will you spend eternity? When I think of eternity, I think of a person. I think of the one that provided it, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of a place, and that's where we're going to be forever. It said, He inhabiteth eternity. But not only that, you know, I think about people. When I think of eternity, I think about people. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 says this, I saw the dead and small. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The dead, small and great. And it says, everyone whose name was not written in that book was cast into the lake of fire. For how long? Eternity. Those whose name was written into that book, they entered into the joy of the Lord for eternity. You see, I think about a place, but not only do I think about a place this morning, when I think about eternity, I think about people. As I was preparing for this message and I'm looking around, Ms. Dobbins, I couldn't stop thinking about Brother Dobbins. He's in eternity. I thought about Brother Jenkins. I thought about Miss Ayler. I thought about my wife's great-grandmother. Thought about people that have children in this building this morning, in eternity. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, that in verse 17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Can I tell you there's going to be a reunion one day? Amen. When I think about eternity, I think about the fact that, brethren, one day, you're going to see that loved one again. One day. When? In eternity. But can I tell you also, and I hate to even share this part, but it's the truth. There's those that won't be there. I read, just as I was studying for this, I read in Revelation where it says that God shall wipe away all their tears. Say, what are those tears about, Brother David? I'm not sure. I don't know if it's for exactly, I think I know, but I don't know exactly. Maybe it's for opportunities that we miss, but maybe it's for loved ones that won't be there. But when I think of eternity, I think about people. Brother, my mom's going to be there, right? Your mama's going to be there. Hey, when I think about eternity, I think about people. We're so temporal, we're so carnal, we're so much of this flesh that we sometimes we just get so caught up in this life. But every now and then, we need to think about the next life. We need to think about eternity. And can I tell you, when I think about eternity, I think about people. There's going to be people that are in eternity. People that you love, people that you prayed for, people that you spent your life with, they're going to be there in eternity. I thought about Pastor Ralph Sexton Jr., Pastor. Did you hear about his wife? Passed away yesterday. I bet eternity's looking awful sweet to Pastor Sexton this morning. There's people in eternity. But let us not forget there's people that are not going to be in that place in eternity as well. We don't like to think about that, but it's a part of it. So you say, I want you to think this morning about eternity. And when I think about eternity, I think about a person, I think about a place, I think about people. But not only that, I want to tell you this. When I think about eternity, I think about praise. I think about praise. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4, if you would. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, I'd read both chapters. I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but God's word's powerful. And so we're going to read some of it. In Revelation chapter 4, look at what it says in verse number, let's start in verse number 8. It says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's eternal. It says in verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. That's eternal. It says the 24 elders fall down before him and sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Look at verse chapter number 5. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And look at verse 11. It says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and ever and ever and eternity. Amen. Hey, for eternity, we are going to worship and praise God. You say, Brother Dave, why did you read the whole chapter 5? I couldn't stop. Hey, can I tell you it's real, brethren? One day in eternity, we are going to forget about these things. We're going to forget about this life. We're going to forget about that cancer. We're going to forget about those bills. We're going to forget about that heartache. We're going to forget about that pain. We're going to forget about it all. We're going to gather around the throne, and we're going to say, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy and honor and blessing and glory to God Almighty. Amen. Hey, we're going to praise him while the ages roll. Amen. Hey, I'm just glad that one day we're going to praise God forever. Amen. Hey, I just want to praise him now. I just want to bless his name now. I just want to give him glory now. I just want to give him honor now, because we're going to do it for eternity. Amen. Hey, turn to Revelation if you would. Where is it at? Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19. We'll read a little bit more about that. Revelation chapter 19. When I think of eternity, I think of praise. Some of y'all think I'm crazy. Way before now, right? Those of you that have been coming here for some time, you think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm just happy. Amen. Amen. I'm going to live for eternity. I was already going to live. You say, brother, we was already going to live for eternity. Yeah, but I was going to live for eternity in hell. But guess what? October the 16th, 2005, bless his holy name. Hey, he reached down into the muck and mire. Hey, he reached down into my sin-cursed life. He lifted me up. He set my feet on a solid rock. And he gave me eternal life, brethren. Amen. I can't help but praise him. I feel like those disciples when they said, we can't help but speak the things which we've heard and seen. Hey, I feel like Jeremiah when he said, it's like a fire burning in my bones. I just want to praise him for what he's done for me. Amen. Thank God I'm saved this morning. Thank God I'm going to heaven this morning. Thank God for the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, I just want to praise him. Amen. Amen. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. I really don't care if you think I'm crazy.
I really don't. I'm serious. My wife thinks I'm crazy. I know my mom thinks I'm crazy, but she knows I was crazy. See, y'all didn't know the was. Y'all just know the is. She knows the was. She tell you he ain't crazy. He used to be crazy. I'm fine now. Amen. I just want to praise him. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 says in verse number 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." Ah, I'm going to be there. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be there. Say why? Because him. Because of Jesus. Because of the Lamb that was slain. I'm going to be there, not because of works of righteousness which I've done, but according to his mercy he saved me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, I'm going to be there because of Jesus. Amen. They said in people heaven, much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah." I like it. Hallelujah. Say it for me, Gabe. Amen. It says, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever, eternity. You see that? Forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Amen. Hey, one day everybody's going to praise God. I understand in this building this morning there's some folks that think I'm crazy because I'm up here praising God and saying hallelujah and amen and bless the Lord, clapping my hands, and if you stick around long enough I might even hit you with a whoa. Hey, I'm saved this morning. But one day we're all going to praise him forever. The Bible said everybody is going to praise him. That's forever and ever. They're going to give him glory and honor and blessing. It said like the sound of many waters. Hey, you ever stood out beside a gushing waterfall and you can't even hear yourself think? It says it's like the sound of many waters. Everybody, the multitude of them is going to praise him. Praise him. When I think of eternity, I think of praise. Amen. Everybody. Amen. I'm just thinking. I don't know if I want to go past this. We're going to praise him, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get started now. Amen. When I think of eternity, I think of a person. I think of a place. I think of people. I think of praise. Not only that, I think of purpose. Turn to Matthew, if you would, real quick. I'm going to finish quickly. Matthew chapter number 6. I don't preach like this all the time. I know some of you, I preach on Sunday mornings. My wife says, "I wish you'd preach like you do on Wednesday nights." I don't act so crazy all the time to our young people. But every now and then it just does me a little bit of good to just let it all out. Amen? Hey, we're saved forever. I don't know about you, but I just haven't gotten over it. I know we're not all the same. Not all of you going to act like me. Thank God. Great day, this place to be, you know. But hey, act like you, but praise him. Don't get mad at me how I praise him, but you praise him. Hey, he's great. He's worthy. Not only do I think about praise, but I think about this. When I think of eternity, I think about purpose. Matthew chapter 6, you're there. Verse number 19 says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You say, when I think about eternity, not only do I think about a person, the Lord Jesus, not only do I think about a place, heaven or hell. Not only do I think about people that have already gone on before us, and not only do I think about praise that we're going to do for eternity, but I think about purpose. I laid in my bed last night and I just thought about eternity, and I said, God, please help me somehow to get somebody in that service tomorrow to really think about eternity, because it'll give you some purpose. Can I tell you, there's so many people living life with no purpose. Making money is not a purpose to live life. Young people, having fun is not a good purpose for living life. But can I tell you, eternity is a great purpose for living life. See, if we're living for the things that we have right here, if we're living for money and for popularity and for things and even for family, I thank God for family. But if that's what we're living for is our family and our job and even our church, thank God for our church. But if all you're living for is the things that you can see and the things that you can touch, hey, that's where your heart's going to be. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We ought to be living for eternity. For eternal things. Things that can't be taken away. Things that can't be corrupted. Things that can't be burned. Things that the thieves can't steal. Eternal things. When I think of eternity, I think of purpose. What are you living for today? Really? I said it last week, I believe it was. I heard a man say, I read where a man said that you should look at your to-do list every day and see what will make it into eternity. Wow. What a convicting thought. We're busy people. If you're like me, sometimes you just have to write yourself notes. I got this to do and this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do. And you just have to kind of start marking those things off. Can I tell you, every now and then, it'd probably do us some good to get that list that we make ourselves, that index card, that notebook, that daily planner, that iPhone, whatever it is that you make notes to yourself with. It'd do us good sometimes to just get it out and say, what on this list is going to make it to eternity? Because if there's nothing on that list that's going to make it to eternity, can I tell you, we're living for temporal. Our heart's here and not there. We ought to have soul winning somewhere on that list. We ought to have prayer somewhere on that list. We ought to have church somewhere on that list. We ought to have encouraging some downcast member on that list. We ought to have given to missions or whatever on that list. We ought to have some things that are going to get into eternity on that list. You see, when I think of eternity, I think of purpose. I think of a person. I think of a place. I think of people. I think of praise. I think of purpose. When I think of eternity, I think of this. I think of a promise. A promise. John chapter 10 verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can I tell you, brethren, hey, God's given us a promise. I don't know about you this morning, but I sure am thankful for that promise. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, John chapter 5, verse 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 3 verse 36 says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son does not have life, But the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, hey, if you have trusted Christ, if you've been saved this morning, hey, there's a promise. I don't got a promise. God's got a promise, and that is you have eternal life. And when I think of eternity, I can't help but think of a promise. I remember our pastor last Sunday. I don't know about y'all. I'm not just crazy today. I'm crazy every Sunday, okay? Hey, the pastor was preaching, I believe it was last Sunday, and got to talking about how you were glad you were saved forever. And if he could have lost it, he said he'd have lost it within 48 hours after he got saved. And I was down there on the front row, and I was getting ready to scare about a half a dozen people right here around me. I'm serious. I was holding back. Y'all don't know it, but see, sometimes I think about others, and I try to restrain myself. But I mean, I was ready to jump up and just have a stinking fit. You say it was a stinking fit. Is that? I was ready to just jump up and praise God, because I know me and I know my flesh, and I feel the way our pastor feels. Hey, brethren, if it was up to me to make it to eternity, I'd be in hell today. But I'm so glad that I'm not going to heaven because of what I've done. I'm going to heaven because of what he's done. Amen. Hey, I'm kept by the power of God. God is keeping me. Jesus has got me. He's preserving me. Not only did he save me, but he's keeping me. Amen. I'm so glad that I have the promise. When I think of eternity, I think of a promise. Everlasting life. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord forever. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, hey, I'm never going to let you go. I'll always be there with you. That's a promise. Amen. When I think of eternity, I think of a promise. He said, I give you eternal life, everlasting life. Hey, can I tell you, I just say this real quick. I say it all the time. I tell young people on a regular basis. Can I tell you, hey, if I could lose what God gave me, then it wasn't eternal. It was temporal. He said, I give unto you eternal life. It's either eternal or it's not. It's that simple. If it won't last forever, then it wasn't eternal in the first place. And God's a liar. You say, Brother Dave, you shouldn't say that. I'm not. I'm saying he never lies. He can't lie. The Bible says God who cannot lie. That God that cannot lie said, David Oliver, when you trusted me as your Savior, October 16, 2005, he said, then I gave you eternal life, everlasting life, and that's a promise, and I keep my promises. Thank God. Bless his holy name. We ought to all act like, you know, we just won the Super Bowl. Amen. Have a Baptist-costal just celebration. Amen. We're safe forever. Amen. I think about a promise. And last, I think about this, and I'm done. I think about preparation. When I think of eternity, I think about preparation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. After this, we're all going to stand before God. Are you prepared? Really? Are you prepared? I'm not asking, have you joined the church? Have you grown up in church? Have you been baptized? What your last name is? I'm not asking you if you give. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. No, I'm asking you, are you prepared for eternity? If today was it, if the Lord were to come, or if death were to strike, are you prepared? You say, for what? For eternity. Because there is life after this. You say, what is it? Eternity. If you didn't get anything out of the message today other than the fact that you think the youth pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church is crazy, get this. You're going to eternity. Are you prepared for it? Have you made your reservation? Have you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the truths of the word of God and how that they've helped me, Lord. And God, I thank you that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I thank you for Jesus. And God, for him making a way for us to have eternal life. I feel as Peter felt when he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." God, I pray that you would help us this day to truly focus our hearts, our minds, our affections on eternity. Lord, may someone today get prepared. God, may someone today get some purpose. God, may someone today start finding people and praise you, God, for eternity. Lord, may we truly set our affection on things above and not on things on this earth. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be standing with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. Those of you that are being baptized, you can go ahead and make your way to be baptized.